Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, hello, happy Friday. We made it. You made it. Welcome back to Good Game. Nice try. I'm Sonia. That has not changed. And this is Aaron. Hey.
How's it going?
Did I catch you off guard?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, it's good to be here. Good to see you. Happy Friday. I don't know. I'm a little distracted, I'm going to be honest.
Why, what's going on?
You know I love Nickelodeon news. I'm into it.
You can't stop talking about it.
We always cut it out of the podcast, but I'm just gushing about Nickelodeon. And there is some big news that dropped that I feel like our listeners should be aware of. Sonia, you probably already know what it is. Do you want to let everybody know why I'm so distracted and excited today?
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl was announced, and it's going to be coming out later for the Xbox One, Series X, PS4, PS5, Switch, PC, all of it. That's it. That's all I've wanted.
That's crazy.
That's a childhood dream. I grew up watching so much Nickelodeon, as I know that you have as well. You have not stopped talking about it. And I grew up playing Smash. So it's a dream combination.
You know who else loves Nickelodeon? It was very excited about this news. Our producer, Jen Samples. Let's get her in here. Jen, what do you think about this news? About this Nickelodeon Smash Bros.
I am so excited. And as soon as Sonia mentioned something about it, I immediately thought of all the characters I want to play as. And I immediately made a list that was unprompted. No one asked me to do it.
No one asked me either. We both immediately started typing out our dream team. And I want to know your top five.
Okay. I have them. I'll go 5-1.
Oh, yeah.
So
we got, I'm so sorry, but I love how we instantly got so serious about this. Like the brief mention of Nickelodeon and both Jen and I
take it so seriously.
I love it.
It's like I've been waiting all my life for this.
It's
okay.
So good. Okay, 5-1.
My number 5 is Porkchop.
Aww.
The dog from Doug. Yeah. He's very sassy, very aggressive. I think he'd really do well on the team.
Mm-hmm.
What would Porkchop's strengths be as a
sarcasm?
Fighter?
Mm-hmm.
Sarcasm as a fighter? Okay.
Emotional cuts.
Yeah. And he's low to the ground, so we could just go for the knees.
There we go. Hard to defend.
And then staying on the Doug train, number 4 would be Quail Man, because you have to have a superhero.
That's good. Yeah.
Classic.
I agree.
Classic.
And then number 3 would be Alex Mack, because I feel like her defense could just be to turn into the goo.
Perfect.
Right?
Incredible.
Like the evil T-1000, like Terminator 2.
Just yes.
Beautiful.
Totally. And number 2 would be Rocco, obviously, from Rocco's Modern Life.
Love it.
Classic.
And then number 1 would be Olmec, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Whoa.
That's so good.
How does that work? Like what are some of the moves?
He would just roll.
Okay.
Just roll across the board. Sonia, what are yours?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm looking at this word pad that I frantically hit a bunch of names on. I'm gonna pick and choose, but let's see. Number 5, I would put Blue from Blue's Clues.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes, I would love that. And then I would love to keep on the Doug train. It was kind of a toss-up between Skeeter and Roger.
That's tough. That's so tough.
I'll take either or. I feel like Roger would be more fun from because I'm more fun to play against, because I just want to kick his ass.
Yeah, Skeeter's just so gentle.
He's so
you
sweet.
Know
I would I would love Fairly Odd Parents. I want Cosmo and Wanda.
Oh,
right?
They would be great.
Be so good. Carl from Jimmy Neutron.
Mm, obvious choice.
Very, very obvious choice. And then I thought, why are we limiting ourselves to just the animated shows?
Sure.
Why right. can't we explore iCarly? Why can't we have Clarissa Explains It All? Why can't we have Kenan and Kel?
Absolutely.
Pete and
Thank
Pete.
You.
You know, they tag in and out, you know, like it's like a double thing.
I love that.
The possibilities are endless. And then I feel like the settings for the fights, like there could be one on the aggro crag.
Oh my God.
From Guts.
That's so
like good. That's the perfect Smash setting.
They have like the whole setup where they would slime people. Like that's a whole level.
Yes.
Well, look, I high hopes for this game. I hope it lives up to expectations. I hope it lives up to expectations.
I think it will.
It has a lot to offer. And I think the news is exciting no matter what. I think it's very cool that Nickelodeon is even thinking in these terms mm-hmm. to give their audience, which is us, a cool game.
Well, you know what really doesn't disappoint and what will definitely live up to your expectations? Our guest today.
Applause noises.
Our guest today is not only a gamer, not only a streamer, not only a YouTuber and comedian, but just a fantastic human being. You may know him from Unus Honest or his even bigger hit, Peen. If you haven't already, check him out at youtube.com/crankgameplays. We are so excited that he got to join us today. And here is our interview with Ethan, a.k.a. Crank Gameplays. Hey!
Hey!
Hello! Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
I was listening to a podcast today. Actually, a podcast that you were on a little while ago, Healthy Gamer.
Yeah.
Which, your episode, by the way, I feel like I get bits and pieces from each episode, and I loved your episode diving into imposter syndrome and everything else in between. It was beautiful, but he touched
Thank
on something
you.
that he said something along the lines of, you know, the bigger that you get as a creator, the more creatively constrained you can feel. And I really feel like you're in the category of someone who completely just blows that out of the water.
Oh, thanks.
Genuinely, with every, like, you started your channel and gameplay, and now you just do everything, Ethan. You're all over the place.
Thanks.
And it's amazing to see.
It's inspiring. Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. That's such a nice thing for you to say.
Well, I wouldn't say if it wasn't true. I see you've got videos like reacting to TikToks, doing vlogs, you're still playing a lot of games. You still somehow find time to Twitch and your skits and everything else in between. Like how has that journey been?
It's been a weird one. Yeah, I think that like it's a hard thing to get out of oh, I am known for this one thing or whatever. And for a while it was just gaming stuff. But I think that if you're genuinely enjoying the stuff that you're making, then your audience will enjoy it because they can see that you're enjoying it. So they're gonna have fun too. And I realize that I'm saying that coming from a place of privilege with like me already having an audience.
Well, you worked very hard.
Thank you.
That didn't come overnight. That was very, you know.
And I think that advice holds true if you have an audience or not. I mean, people who are enjoying what they're doing are fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that like starting off growing, it probably is a little bit harder just because a lot of people like to go for certain channels for certain things. So if you're doing kind of everything, then it might be a little bit harder. But I think that that does ring true of like, if you are enjoying what you're doing, then other people will see that. So I'm coming up on my 9-year YouTube anniversary, and I'm at the point where I'm just like, I don't want to just like be doing the same stuff that I was doing when I started. And like, I still have fun doing gaming stuff, but it's like, oh, I want to find different avenues to explore and stuff like that. And it's all still on the same platform, but it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I don't have to just do gaming. I can go and do other things. It's about having fun.
I think people, especially like I feel, and Sonia, I don't know how you feel, but I fall into this trap of measuring my worth by how productive I am, how the productivity. Mm-hmm. Like if I didn't make anything today, I feel like worthless. And I've been really fighting against that because being bored is important to the creative process. Like Sonia, wouldn't you say? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like if you're constantly involved in something and you're constantly, I don't know, like trying to distract yourself or keeping yourself from being bored, your mind doesn't have that moment to wander. Your mind doesn't have that moment to like brainstorm, you know, random shit that you could be doing or, you know, let yourself out of the box.
I would absolutely agree. One of my favorite videos that I've ever made is a video called Peen. I don't even know why I called it that. But I was like, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I need a video for tomorrow. And so I just started like dancing in front of a green screen. And I was like, the whole reason behind it was, I was like, I need a quick video for tomorrow. And then I spent like 10 hours editing it because I was just like, this is so much fun. I just like put horses in the background and like, it's like a weird video to watch. But for me, it's like one of the most, this is weird to say, but like one of the most creatively fulfilling videos that I've ever made.
Yeah, cool.
Just because it was like, no, I just want to mess around and like do weird editing stuff. And it's a favorite for sure. But yeah, it was because I was bored and I was like, I don't know what to film today. And then I was like, I'm just going to shit something out and see what happens.
And I love that too, because it's sometimes the videos that you don't expect to like, you're just like, honestly, fuck it. At this point. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes those are the videos that do the best, like that people enjoy the best or like pop off or people, you know, really get involved with. What are like some of your highlights outside of Peen? Peen is a classic, of course.
A classic, of course. Yeah, there was a bunch of different stuff. There was a weird skit that I did where I called myself Doorman. This was at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was just stuck between a door and I gave like a 5-minute monologue about what my life has been like since my wife left me after I got stuck in this door and could never get out. I don't know. It's just all like, if you can dream it, you can do it.
It sounds very much like, have you seen I Think You Should Leave?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Oh my God, I love it.
Watching, I think, the first season of I Think You Should Leave, I felt seen.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's so weird and just, like, there's a lot of the sketches don't have endings, but, like, that's what I love about this world we find ourselves in.
Speaking of that, because I just watched it again for the first time in a while the other day, I think that, like, with weird comedy where it's, like, I feel so seen by like, I Think You Should Leave, where it's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
I think a movie that was so ahead of its time that has very similar humor is Hot Rod. I think that movie did not get the credit that it deserved back when it came out. But now looking at it, I'm like, this is such a funny movie. Like, it's so bizarre and so weird. It was so ahead of its time. But I love weird stuff like that where it's, like, honestly, just like people doing goofy stuff on screen, and it's like they're not really jokes that are like written. It seems like it seems like a lot of that in that movie might have been improv, but it's just like, how do you write that kind of stuff? I feel like that's just like something that you throw out there and see if it sticks, and it's so cool.
It feels like Doorman 3 in the morning kind of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Similar thing exactly. to what you're doing.
So do you actually like script anything at all ever, or is it just kind of like, I'm gonna throw it at the wall, see what happens?
I don't know if I've ever had a scripted video ever. I think the only time I've ever done scripted stuff is if I have to do like an ad read or something.
Mm-hmm.
But almost 100% of it is improv. I did a lot of improv in high school. And then after high school, I did like an improv tour thing in 2018 with some friends of mine. But yeah, almost everything is all improv. I think that, at least for me, because I'm in the process of writing a show, this is not me trying to plug this thing that I'm working on.
writing things
and trying to be funny, at least for me, is so hard, where I can like envision it happening on stage and I'm like, okay, the way that I'll act it out, I think it'll be funny. But writing jokes down is so awful for me. It's so bad. Nothing ever seems funny on paper. I don't know if other people have that issue, but every time I look at the script, I'm like, wow, this is all so shitty.
So is this for, I mean, I think I saw you tweeting about it recently. Was it, I have to do this?
Yeah, I'm doing a show that I have named I Have to Do This Show, which is basically just me talking to like my friends who are in touring companies and stuff and being like, hey, I want to do a tour, for the past like 3 years. And then I always drop it because I'm just horrified of making something shitty. And so I was talking to my buddy Justin, who is like the account exec at Real Good Touring, who's the touring company that I'm going through. And he was like, hey, do you actually want to do a show? And I was like, yes, I do. And he was like, do you have any ideas yet? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't really know what I want to do. And so we were at my house. We might have been drunk. I don't remember. But he was like, I'm going to email X promoter or whatever, and I'm going to book us a venue right now. And I said, okay, just to like hold myself. This was like 8 or 9 months ago, but just to like hold myself accountable and be like, no going back now. So we booked a show that night. Like, we hadn't announced it that night, obviously, but we booked a show that night, and I had nothing. And when I announced the show, I had nothing. And depending
nightmare.
On who you ask, I still have nothing. No, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully,
I believe in you.
Good. Yeah.
It'll be great.
If I'm having fun on stage, then I think that's a good time. So
yeah, I think that's the key. If you're having a good time and you're enjoying the process and if you're feeling the energy, I feel, you know, I feel like you're gonna do great.
That's one thing, is like being in the creative industry is like there's the weird thing of the product and like the idea. And sometimes I feel like those things match up. Sometimes they're at odds. But it really is this thing of like, how do you quantify a enjoyment of a thing? Oh, yeah. I got to 4 happy points. Like, how do you? And that's why, like, you know, oftentimes I've wanted like a HUD or something in my life to be like, I feel hungry, this much hungry. Oh, yeah. I need to eat that. Because it would just be super helpful if I was just be like, I was 9 happiness going on this walk and I'm 6 happiness watching this show. I should go on a walk. You know, like it just makes you crazy in your brain.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like that a lot of like, I like, this sounds so weird and like arrogant to say, but like, do you ever wish you had a normal job?
No, 1000%. Even like as a content creator, when you're doing not only gameplay and Twitch and everything else, but when you're doing vlogs and when your life is the content and when you're trying to fulfill that, again, feeding the content machine, there is no clocking in and clocking out.
It's weird too. Like, I will say, and I don't know how you guys feel, but kind of working in an industry with video games were such a pure pleasure to me. And now it's almost like I get in my head about like, should I play this game or should I play this game? Because, oh, this is what's hot, or I should play this so we could talk about it. Or do you guys, I'm not going to say it's ruined, my job has ruined video games.
Yeah.
But it certainly colors my enjoyment of video games. Do you guys feel that way at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I haven't played a game for myself in a really long time. And that's definitely something that like I feel guilt about, where I'm playing a game and I'm like, oh man, maybe I should be recording this or maybe I should be streaming this. And I very seldom play a game for myself, which is something that I've been wanting to do more of. Like, I did that a lot with Resident Evil 8, which just came out. I did stream a ton of it, and almost every time I played it, I was doing it on stream. But I did beat it 6 times.
Oh my God.
And a couple of those times were not on stream. So
it's a step.
There we go.
It's a step.
It's a step.
Love it.
It's a step. I think it's also hard, like, Sonia, I don't know if you feel this, but like, because video games are such a big part of my job that sometimes it's hard, even if I want to play a game for myself, that I'm like, oh, I'd rather do something else that's not directly related to my job. Because even if I don't have the guilt of I shouldn't be recording this, sometimes it's like, ah, I just spent all day recording and playing games. Like, I kind of want to do something different.
Yeah.
Like, I've picked up... This is crazy, guys. I've picked up a couple of hobbies.
What?
Wow.
A what?
Insane. A hobby.
What did you call it?
It's this thing that you do for yourself.
What?
And you don't monetize it or do it for other people. You just kind of do it for yourself because it makes you feel good.
Never heard of her.
It's insane.
Incredible. What'd you get? What'd you pick up?
I've been doing a lot of cooking recently.
Ooh.
I really like it a lot. One, because it's like a thing that I can do with my hands. Mm-hmm. Two, because it's a thing that doesn't involve a screen, which is like the rest of my life. And I can just like kind of unplug and I can like put on a podcast or some music. And I just like I'm in the kitchen making a thing. And then the best thing about it is that you get, depending on what you're making, immediate validation. Because you do the thing, you do the activity, and then you're like, oh, I get to eat the thing now.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And then you get a skill. Right?
Yeah.
You get something, you're like, I could do this again.
Mm-hmm.
I did I do this thing called dinner in a video game where it'll be a bad pun and a meal. So I've been playing this game called Say No More, which is about healthy boundaries and actually really fun.
Huh.
So I did souffle no more and I made my first souffle.
Ooh, how did that go?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I learned. What I learned is it's all about beating the egg whites. And I didn't really have a mix. I had a whisk. So I'm like a mega whisk. I taped a bunch of whisks together. It's a long story. But so I'm using like a whisk. And that determines how high your souffle goes.
Oh,
how much air is in there.
I have to ask more about the mega whisk.
We really glossed over that.
It's five whisks.
Does it make it more powerful?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the benefit of the mega whisk.
I get like the surface area. There's
here it
more
is right
to-
here.
What?
It's not, it's kind of harder to use than a regular whisk.
So what's the benefit?
Is that a two-handed weapon? How do you?
Yeah, why don't you just buy a hand mixer?
Well, see, that's a good idea. My Vons didn't have one, so I'm just going to have to go buy one. So, the cooking thing, it is a good skill to learn, but it's fascinating to actually learn how it all fits together, which is like weird because I kind of feel like in a certain way, and I don't want to ruin your love of cooking.
Mm.
It is kind of like a video game because you do have to do things in a certain way.
Uh-huh.
It's like the original.
You absolutely do.
Cooking is like the original video game in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great skill to have, though.
Yeah,
it's also very impressive to people sometimes. So if you're people listening, if you're trying to go on a date, let me just tell you that making dinner for somebody can be really impressive.
Yeah.
So just saying.
I will also say I think maybe trying the meal beforehand is key.
Mm.
Because, a test run.
Yeah, because I tried to woo a girl by making Jimmy Dean sausage balls for the first time. And I made too many.
Interesting choice.
Well, I had a very bold choice.
I liked them. I mean, they were like, it's busy. But I didn't really know how to do it. And I ended up making like 80 sausage balls.
That was one of those. That was one of those things where it's like, you just said a sentence that has never been said ever before.
That's a beautiful moment.
No one's ever said that. You are the first person to ever say, I tried to woo a woman by making Jimmy Dean sausage balls.
And you gave her probably the best first date I could ever imagine.
We ended up dating for 4 years. Whoa. It was great.
There you go.
Hey.
Thank you, Jimmy Dean sausage balls.
Thank you, Jimmy Dean.
Thank you, Jimmy Dean. Wow.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You did a great thing. You started making videos that for an entire year. You started very small and it became this giant thing. Explain to people what that was and how it came about.
Yeah. So I did a thing with my friend Mark, or Markiplier on the internet. A very small, unknown creator.
Who?
You made him some sausage balls, and then here's
what
it started.
We did make some sausage together for a video.
Well, there we go.
So we had a channel called Unus Honest that was just the whole thing. So Unus Honest is 1 year in Latin. We made videos every single day for a year, and then every video started with a timer. And ended with a timer of how much time was left. We started on November 15th, 2019. And then a year later, we deleted it. We deleted everything.
Whoa.
We deleted all of the videos and the entire channel itself.
Jeez.
I have questions. I have questions for you.
Yeah.
First of all, I love this. I love this idea. I love
Thank
that you.
You
guys did it. So cool. Mm-hmm. When you're making, did you ever have a video you made and you were like, oh my God, we have to delete this eventually?
Not really. The channel was originally not going to be as high effort as it was.
Oh, okay.
It was going to sort of be just like a random channel where we put out wherever we wanted. And it was going to be every day, but there was no real standard for it. Mm. So like we had videos that we had filmed that we actually scrapped because after the first week or so, we were like, okay, our standards are much higher now. These videos aren't good enough. So originally it was going to be just kind of like a bullshit channel where we put whatever up that we wanted. And so at the start, when we had those videos of like, these are really good videos, we were like, well, they're going to be around for another year. So they got some time. And then near the end, when it was like, okay, like we have a week left, this is going to be up for a week and then it's going to be deleted. At that point, we were so far into it and so much about the whole message of the channel that that wasn't even like a thought process.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was just like, no, this is part of it. And that's why it's special. Like, if anything, it made the videos more special and cool. Like, in a sense, better than if they were to just stay up forever. And that was the thing, and we talked about that a lot, of like a lot of people really enjoyed Unus Honest and they enjoyed the videos. And we did make some really good videos. But like the reason that the videos themselves were good, I think, in my eyes, and why everything was special was because it was going to be deleted. Like there were a lot of videos that were like pretty shitty videos and like videos that Mark and I were like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. And they went up. But like the channel was special because it was being deleted. Like the channel wasn't special because the videos themselves were special.
And I love, again, like I think you hit the nail on the head. It being gone after a year is kind of what makes it great. Like life, you know, isn't beautiful because it goes on forever. Like the kite doesn't work without the string. You need an end for things to actually mean something. And so, yeah, that's super cool.
I think that Mark put it best. I cannot remember, because I remember it may have happened multiple times actually, but I remember being there once when somebody asked, like, why are you gonna delete everything after it's gone? It doesn't make sense. Like, you guys are crazy. And especially like from a business standpoint. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, I guess, from a business standpoint. And Mark said it perfectly. All he replied with was, it'll make sense when it's over. And it did. It did. It's one of the most proud, it's probably the most proud I've ever been to be a part of a project, was when it was over. And when the final stream was happening, there was like 1.5 million people watching the stream. And it was people who had watched from the beginning. It was people who had never watched before. It was a ton of people in the community of like the community of the fan base that we had built up, but also the YouTube community. Like everybody was watching the final moments of this channel, whether or not they had watched the videos before. And it was like, oh, yeah, he was right. Like it makes sense now that it's ending, because it's like, this is the last shot. And like, there was a big thing of people saying, well, you know, despite you discouraging people from re-uploading, like people are still going to re-upload the videos. And we were like, yeah, but that's not the point. Like the point is, if you watch the videos, whatever. Again, the videos aren't special on their own. The videos are special because they all got deleted. And if they get re-uploaded and then you watch them later, it's like, okay, yeah, you saw the video, but you weren't a part of the experience. So yeah, I don't know. It's cool. Wow,
that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, the classic, you know, the sum is bigger than the parts kind of a situation, which is, yeah, incredibly cool. Well, I hate to say it, but we're almost out of time.
No!
I know! Time flies, you're having fun. And look, I mean, we like to end every interview with asking our guest the game they hate the most, the game they love the most. And you know, it could be for any reason. This is not a judgment on the game or the quality. It's your personal experience. Let's start with a game that drives you insane, and then we'll end on a positive note.
That's such a hard, I don't know if I've been asked that question before, because people always ask me like, what's your favorite game? Right. And I have a few different answers, but nobody really asks what's your least favorite game. That's a really tough one.
Is there one you have like a personal vendetta get? You're like, I was stuck on it for so long, or?
Yeah, for me, it's like, man, I've said this before, but Robin Hood for the Commodore 64, there was this asshole who shot a flaming arrow, killed me every fucking time. And to load the game up, you had to load a cassette tape player. So between games, it took 45 minutes to get 3 lives. And then flaming arrow guy, and I would just, in my parents' basement, scream to the heavens. And then credits would roll, and then, you know.
Man, there are some games that are like in my mind where I'm like, this is such a tough game and it's so aggravating to play. I think that holds true, even though I do love them. Like the Crash games, the Crash Bandicoot games are really hard and they're really infuriating sometimes. I think also, for a slightly different reason, this is both my least favorite and my favorite game. Depends who I'm playing against. Super Smash Bros. I played a ton with my brother growing up. Still to this day, even though I play video games for a living, I think it's like a weird respect thing, how they say like you can't beat your father in arm wrestling because of like the father-son dynamic and the like bullshit like that. I think the same thing happens with me and my brother, where I just can't beat him. I play video games for a living, but I still can't beat my fucking brother at Super Smash Bros. And it's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Wait, which, like Melee or N64?
Melee, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your choice? Who's your character?
Fox.
Okay.
I really like Fox.
All right. What does your brother play?
Samus.
So wait, is that then your... Then what's your favorite? What's the game that gives you the most, or has traditionally given you the most joy?
My favorite game, I think, this is such a weird choice, and people are always like, is that really your choice? And I'm like, yeah, I think it is. Skate 3.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is a game that I have put more hours into than any other game ever. The replayability of that game is insane. I can't wait for, I'm assuming Skate 4. I don't know what they're calling it yet, but... that was always just a game that I would like play when I was rendering out a video, or if it's like, oh, I have 20 minutes before I have to go to work or whatever, I'm just gonna pop Skate 3 on and do some stuff. It was just such a chill, like relaxing game for me. I was like almost never frustrated in that game. It was just good vibes. Aww. Just going around doing some pop shovies, doing some kick flips.
Hell yeah.
Super fun.
That's a good contender for, right? Mm-hmm. Just good vibes.
Yeah.
Just good vibes.
What about you guys?
Oh, gosh.
The Robin Hood is a is a real thing for me. Also, Ninja Gaiden for the same reason. I could never beat my father in that game. It was like games back in the day before there's just unlimited continues. And now we kind of see this again with Demon's Souls and Bloodborne. It was like you just needed to get better. You need to power up yourself and just get better.
power up your soul.
It's like it's literally just like, get good, bro.
Get good.
I mean, you know, for me, Last of Us is great. I'm a storyteller, so Red Dead Redemption's great. I love horror games. Alien Isolation was super fun, that stuff. Sonny, what about you?
God, no more that I think about it. I feel like Mario Party is kind of my equivalent of your Smash Brothers, where like I would kick ass. Like, I love the mini games. I would do so good. But if I lost, it was fucking devastating.
That's a game just like Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end friendships.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end friendships.
And that's
it. And like you start playing with your best friend and your mortal enemies by the end of that game. It's so cutthroat.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. I would always get the mini game star. So if anyone took that from me, that was that's it. That's it.
Yep.
No more friends.
One of my best friends and former roommates, Catherine, whenever she plays, just like when we play board games, but whenever she plays Mario Party, she does not play for a good time. She plays to win, and she does not care. She will kill your whole family if she has to. Like, she's the most cutthroat. It's unbelievable, and it's very fun, but also just like, wow, you're really going to pull these moves right now? And she's like, yeah, I want all the stars, baby.
Well, Ethan, thank you. This is a delight and a thrill. Thank you so much for being here.
And if you can get some soft boy merch right now, grab it, get all of it. It's incredible. Is it just softboy dot with it or Ethan? What?
It's just crankgameplays.com.
There we go. Crankgameplays.com.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was so fun.
Of course. Thanks for joining. Out of all the episodes that we've done, I think this one has probably made me the most hungry. I can't lie. I'm just so happy that Ethan could join us today.
That's great. So fun. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with some more delightful video game talk. Be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And we're back. Now, here's the thing. I've been playing, Sonia, you know I play a lot of games. It's crazy. I play a ton of games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a game I really am excited to tell you about and our listeners. It's an indie game. And the game is called Say No More. So it says Say No More. It's Say No More. It's by the game dev Studio Fizbin. It's on the Switch. It's on PC. You can even get it on your Mac. And it's kind of like this Minecraftian looking game. And the whole idea is it's all about setting healthy boundaries.
Love this.
So cool.
Love this. So did you just beat it? Did you just play through it?
I am on the last boss.
Oh,
And I haven't beat it yet, but here's the game. The game is you are a worker at a company and you're doing things for people. People just ask you, hey, can you make me a copy of this? Can you get me coffee? Can you do all these things? And you have to say no to them. That's the game.
Are they disappointed? Are they upset? Are you disappointed? Are you upset? What happens?
This was actually a hard game for me to play because I, as you know, in my real life, I have a really hard time saying no to people.
Mm-hmm.
But it teaches you, so what happens is you find this Walkman and you listen to this Walkman and there's this big, weird, like think like 80s aerobic instructor guy. And he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say no, and it's going to be great.
Yes.
And then he teaches you, you have all these different ways to say no to people. And you do things, and sometimes people don't want to accept your no, so you have to break them down with sarcastic laughter, sarcastic clapping, nodding, pretending you're going to say yes, and then you hit him with a no.
Oh,
it's really...
combo move.
Oh, there are combos. There are combos to set these healthy boundaries. And also with your friends, because then it's like your friend is like, hey, I'm having a hard time paying rent. Think you could cover me? And you have to be like, no. And then they're like, okay, cool. I'll find another way to do it. It's great.
Did you find that you found a lot that you could take from it?
I'm not overstating. Like, this is not an exaggeration when I say it has helped me out in my life.
Awesome.
And over the past week since I've been playing, I literally have been setting better boundaries because of this game.
Yes.
And by the way, can I just say, setting boundaries like helps other people also. Like, do you feel like in your life you have a hard time setting healthy boundaries with people?
Oh, 1,000%. 100,000%. It is really hard to say no, especially, I mean, as a Canadian, I want to make everybody happy. I want to be nice to everybody. And it's really, it is hard to think that I'm going to be in a position where I can disappoint someone. So,
yes.
And it's not even knowing what to say half the time, but a lot of it is just even being aware that you are saying yes to so many things. Because I feel like I'll just get caught up. And then at the end of the day, I realize that my bandwidth is 85% taken up by things that I've just agreed to do for
yes.
other people. And
yes.
then I have no bandwidth for myself. But yeah, just being aware in those situations of like, I can say no.
Yes.
And again, going back to what you said earlier of like, I love having games that you can take something from and they're outside of the box and it is something that you can take into real life. So that's incredible that you found gems that you can use over the last week.
And to your point, one of the things that's been really mind-blowing to me playing Say No More or Say No More is it's teaching me, like, here's a great example. So part of the game, you get to a point in the game where you're saying no to a lot of things in a good way. And then you in the game teach your friends how to say no to things. So there's a point where you all go to eat at this food truck. And one of your friends is like, hey, can I get this with no onions? And the food comes out with onions. And the person goes, your friend in the game is like, oh, cool, I'll just eat it. And I'm like, oh my God, I totally do that. I totally do that. And Jen, our producer, is nodding also. I totally just will, because I don't want to like bother the waiter or like, oh, they brought it to me. I don't want to waste food, but I really don't want it with cheese on it or whatever. And I was like, oh my God. And so this game was like, yeah, you should say no. And then the guy making the food was like, oh, absolutely. I want you to be happy and eat my food and enjoy it. And so it works out. It's mind blowing.
A lot of times people just want you to be happy and
yeah.
people just want you to enjoy their food
yes.
and you to have a good experience. So, yeah, it is a balance. It's definitely a balance, but that's so good.
It's really great. So Studio Fizbin, well done.
Aww.
Well done. The game is called Say No More and it's available on the Switch and PC and Mac. And yeah, it truly has. And also, by the way, the music is so fun.
Ooh,
oh my God. I'm like dancing
the
whole game. It's like 80s. It's like dance music. Like 80s.
Like 80s fitness instructor.
It is. It's very 80s fitness instructor.
So good.
It's really fun. It makes you feel good. It's a beautiful, bright game. A lot of colors. The writing is really funny. The action is insane. At one point you say, you have to charge up and you say a no and you like, the person flies through like three marble columns, like Neo in the Matrix. It's really great. The game is ridiculous. It's so fun.
Oh my God.
Highly, highly recommend. And it's made my brain better, which is always good. So
that's a good sign. And now I have a reason to dust off my Switch. So thank you.
There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week. Of course, as always, if you have any questions, video game requests, or you'd want us to prescribe you a video game prescription, write in at Good Game Nice Try on Twitter or use the hashtag GGNT because those are our initials. Good Game Nice Try. Get
what?
It? Yeah, it's true. I know. I'm just learning that now. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and give us a review. Come on. 5 stars and a review and we'll see y'all next time. Thanks a lot. Love you so much.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Joe Tisdall. A talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. Special thanks to Sean Doherty, and music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.